Lord, we thank you once again that we can talk about loving our church. We know, God, that you love the church so much that you gave your life for it. Lord, may we understand, Lord God, your love for your church. And not only understand it, Lord God, but really do it, Lord God, the way you want us to love your church. But also, we pray, God, we will understand that your church is your family. And because it is your family, O God, you give everything to it. You give your life, you give everything that you can give, you can possibly give, because it's your family. And Lord, we ask that you guide us today as we look at the scriptures, and Lord, may we see what you want us to see. May we understand what we need to understand. Lord, we just commit everything to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, how many of you have pets? Like, you have a dog or a cat or, you know, whatever your pet is. How many of you love your pets? Probably all of you, you know, raise your hand and say, you love your pets. Well, there was a 97-pound Labrador retriever named Marley, who is claimed to be the worst dog ever. You know what this Labrador retriever did? He crashed through screen doors every day. He went berserk during thunderstorms, destroying everything in his path. He stole food off the dinner table, drank from the toilet bowl, and ate bath towels, sponges, socks, used tissues, plastic toys, furniture, speaker covers, paychecks, even the most expensive gold necklace. Well, the question is, how would a master like you love a dog that has so many bad qualities? What would be your answer to the question? Well, the reason why a master like you would love a dog like that is because you love him or her unconditionally. No matter what he does or what he did or what he will do, you know that you will love and accept him for who he is, or for what he was. Isn't that the same way Jesus loves us? Even though the church is imperfect, the church is not, I would say, a perfect church yet, but Jesus loved the church unconditionally. Well, there's another reason why I love my church. And that is what we're going to talk about today. The first reason that we looked at last week is, I love my church because Jesus loves the church. The second reason is, I love my church because the church is God's family. As our text says, and this is what Jesus is saying to all his disciples, his people, all of us, to those who follow Jesus Christ. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So I love my church because it is God's family. How many of you love your family? No matter what they do, what they did, or who and what they are, you love them. And it is the same way Jesus is saying to us today, And to remember that even though they are imperfect, they are, I mean, sometimes annoying, or sometimes we don't really love what they do, but we love them anyway. We love them anyway. In the same way, Jesus is saying to us today that if we are to love the church, we are to love them like we love our family. In the same way that you love your family, God wants you to love the church as your spiritual family. Amen? And how do we love our family? Or how do we love our church? Well, the only way you can show your love to the church, remember, the church is not the building. We're not talking about the building here. We're talking about the people of God that have come to call upon the name of Jesus. They are the church. We are the church. Not the building, not the institution, but we are the church. So what did Jesus do to love us or to show us his love? Well, we have seen that in last week, how Jesus showed his love to his church. We have seen that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 29, last week, that he showed his love by giving himself for the church. And because he gave himself for the church, he was able to clean us or cleanse us from all our sins. Now we can be forgiven of our sins. Now we can be used by God for the kingdom, for his kingdom and glory. But every time we talk about love, we always think about the other things that we love. How many of you love a sport? Okay, some of us love basketball or football or soccer or whatever sport you love. Or some people love food, love to eat. They love to, go somewhere, or they love things. Okay? But that is not the same kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. And sometimes we think that the church is like the thing that we love. How many of you heard about Yelp? Yelp is I think it gives you an opportunity to give a rate to a restaurant that you are going to. Like if you rate them 3 stars or 4 stars, so that will come out of their the Yelp. Okay, that will rate what kind of food, what kind of service they have in that restaurant. But Jesus is not talking about that kind of love. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about is based on relationships. And when you have relationships, you don't rate that relationships like you rate a restaurant. Amen? So when you rate your family, for example, you don't rate your family according to the service that it gives you in your family. Whether the dinner or the food is good or not, you don't rate it just like you rate a restaurant. Don't you? Well, you don't do that because it's your family. And what Jesus is talking about here is that when you love your brothers and sisters, when you love your family, your love is based on your relationship with them. And as far as relationship is concerned, you cannot love Jesus without loving the church. You know, many people says, I love the church, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Maybe because they have been hurt by the church, they may have been, you know, hurt by somebody in the church, and so they don't love the church anymore. But you cannot separate your love for Jesus and your love for the church. I would say that your love for Jesus and your love for the church is a package deal. Amen? You cannot say you love Jesus and hate the church. So, what Jesus is saying here is when you love Jesus, love is expected of you. So it's not optional for a Christian not to love their brothers and sisters. It is something that Jesus commanded, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus wants us to love our brothers and sisters like he loves you and me. Unconditionally. Remember, love is a choice. You love your family whether you like it or not because it's your family. In the same way, Jesus loves you even though you have many qualities, you have many failures, you have many things that that seems like does not qualify you for the love of Jesus. So as a family, love is expected. Love is expected. Because Jesus has shown us how to love. It is expected of each and every one of us to love our brothers and sisters. Number two, I love my church because the church is God's family. And because church is family, love is expected. And then point number two, I love my church, and because church is family, love is reflected. What do I mean by reflected? It is not only expected of us to love one another, it is also expected from us by the world. The Bible says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What God is saying is, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the world expects you to love your brothers and sisters. Not only does God expect you to love your brothers and sisters, the world knows whether you are a Christian by your love for one another. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you will reflect his love and his character in your life. What I'm saying is, if you are a Christian, you are a reflector of his love. In other words, people will see you as a Christian if they see your love for one another. Well, let me tell you a story about Alexander the Great. You know, Alexander the Great is one of the greatest military generals who ever lived. You know, one day, or one night, during the campaign, he could not sleep. And so he left his tent to walk around the campgrounds. As he was walking, he came across a soldier sleeping on duty. You know, that was a serious offense during the time. The penalty for falling asleep on guard is, in some cases, instant death. And even some commanding officers sometimes poured gasoline or kerosene on a sleeping soldier and lit it. So the soldier began to wake up as Alexander the Great approached him, recognizing the person standing before him. The young man feared for his life. And Alexander the Great asked the soldier, "Do you know the penalty for falling asleep?" And then the soldier said, "Yes, sir." And then Alexander the Great asked the soldier, "What is your name?" And the soldier said, "Alexander, sir." "Alexander? Can you repeat that question, that answer again? What's your name?" He said, "My name is Alexander, sir." And then the third time, and more loudly, Alexander the Great asked, "What is your name?" Alexander the Great heard his name once again. The soldier said, "My name is Alexander, sir." Alexander the Great looked at the soldier intently and said to him, "Either change your conduct or change your name." Well, in the same way, if you claim to be a Christian, but you are not living according to his character, his love, we cannot say we are Christians. And how do we show that we love one another? Well, the way we can show our love for one another is how we treat one another. How do we treat one another? That is the only way we can show our love for other Christians, in the way we treat one another. Let me read to you 1 John 4:19-21. "We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." You know, there was a story of a summer PBS. You know, one of the teachers was absent one night and had not encountered a boy who had come that night, but who were there during that day. You know, this boy had one hand. And when she saw the boy, she was shook a little bit and began to fear that others might make fun of him. And because of that, she was so distracted that during the closing program, she led the children on the stage and told them, "Now let's build our church. Let's put our hands together." He said, "Here's the church. Here's the people." Then suddenly, she was aware that the boy cannot do it because he had only one hand. But after a moment of awkward silence, a little girl seated to the boy held up her hand next to the boy and said, "Let's build the church together." Well, the point is, the girl understood the meaning of Christian love, which is one believer reaching out to another believer to build his church. Well, that is what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to reach out to one another so that we can show and treat one another the way we want to be treated. But Jesus wants us to show that we love the church by our love for one another, by the way we treat one another. Well, thirdly, because I love the church, because church is family, love is directed. What do I mean by directed? You know, when Jesus died for us on the cross, it cost him a lot. In the same way, if we are going to love one another, it will cost us something. It will cost us our time, our money, our pressure, everything. You know, the love that Jesus wants us to show the world and the brothers and sisters is a love that is called a sacrificial love. A love that will cost you to do something, not just feel good about someone or something. In other words, love is action. Love is doing something for the good of others. So how do we show our love or direct our love to someone in your brotherhood or in your community? In other words, what does it include for you to love your church? Well, Thomas Kempis said, "Whoever loves much, does much." In other words, if you love someone, you will do everything you can in your power to do something for him or her. The same way that in this context, Jesus is saying to us, if you love the church, you will do something to show your love to the church. So how do we love our church? What does it look to love our church? Well, there are many ways we can show our love to the church, as we have seen in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. You know, the book of Acts is an example of how a church, or how a church love one another in the way Jesus wanted them to love one another. And we know what happened to the early church. They exploded in growth. They were able to make a difference in the world. They were able to turn the world upside down because people in the world have seen that they love one another. So how do we love one another? We love one another by connecting, by being part of a community where you can grow and mature and become strong and become encouraged and continue in your relationship with the Lord. How many of you believe that no one is an island? You cannot live by yourself. You need one another. When God created the world, He saw that we need one another. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a help meet suitable for him. So we need to connect to a community. And also we need to serve. Our ministry is to serve one another. We can show our love to God and to one another by being a servant. So we connect, we love, we serve, we give, we pray, and most importantly, we come together every week worshiping God in the spirit, and worship is very important for our Christians. You can just stay at home and listen to music, listen to worship, because we need a community. We need to worship together with brothers and sisters. We need to give. We need to pray. We need to help one another grow in our Christian life. And that is how we can show our love for the church. Remember, Jesus did not just say, "I love you," but He showed His love by dying on the cross, by giving His life. In the same way, Jesus expects you and me to show our love to Him and to the church by doing something for His church. Whether that be in serving, whether that be in giving, whether that be in connecting to one another, whether that be in coming to church every week, worshiping God, worshiping with one another, whether that be in helping another person grow in his faith, in his knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether that be in sharing our faith to others. That is our part. Amen? That's why every time someone misses the church, but not in church, my heart is hurt. When I don't see you in church, when I don't see you coming here every Sunday, my heart hurts. And I believe God also feels that way. Same way. Although sometimes there may be reason why you are away, but when you are away from the presence of God or from the people of God, I mean, God also longs for your worship. Amen? God longs for your praise. The Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So my friends, my brothers and sisters, as we study the scripture in the next 7 or 8 weeks, I believe by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that we will love the church more, or even more. I pray that God, by His Spirit, will reveal to us why we should love the church. Because He loved the church. And I'm praying that God will reveal to us the kind of love so that we can reciprocate the love. We can give Him back the love by loving His church, by loving His people, by being a part of a church where we can use our gift, where we can use whatever God has given us to bless other people. So my friends, my brothers and sisters, I will end in this. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, we have seen how God moved in the early church. And I believe this is the missing link in many churches, including our church. But when the people of God come together in worship, serving God, serving one another, being in a community together, praying together, helping one another grow, you know what will happen? The church will grow. God will bring the people that we have been praying for. That is when we do our part. Amen? That's when we start to pray, God, I'm praying that you will bring people in church. And you start, God starts to speak to you and you bring the people. Instead of being focused on yourself, on your needs, on your struggles, you start to focus on other people. And God starts to bless you. God starts to answer your prayer. God starts to do something for you when you start to see other people who are in need. There are so many people in need. Remember, that's the reason why you are here. That's the reason why you are still alive. How many of you are thankful that you are still alive? I'm thankful that I'm still alive. I could have been dead. But I am here because God has a purpose for me. I'm not just coming to church just to, you know, spend time worshiping and, you know, singing and things like that. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. The reason why you are alive today is because God wants you to make a difference in the lives of other people. Amen? So that is why I love the church. Because Jesus loves the church. And not only that, Jesus considers me part of his family. And because I am family, I am a member of God's family. I will do what Jesus wants me to do. Amen. I will be whatever God wants me to be. My friends, my brothers and sisters, let us make a difference in the world. Let us make a difference in the world. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much, O God, that you have given us a task, a responsibility, a great responsibility. Lord, tell the world about Jesus. Tell the world about the good news. Though we know, God, that sometimes we talk that it's not possible. We cannot do it. But we know, God, that by your spirit, by your mind, nothing is impossible. Though we may not see it right now, but we know and we see it, oh God, according to your faith, according to the faith that you have given us, Lord. Lord, as we study what it means to love your church in the next few weeks, Lord, we ask, oh God, that you make us more committed, that you make us love you more and love your church more. Lord, may we be